I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Andy Baskin. First round I thought was fun, entertaining, wildly interesting. Joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, a man who may or may not feel the same way. Former Browns running back, best soccer dad you'll ever meet, Jamel White. Hello, Jamel.
Hey, what's going on, man? How's everything?
We're all good.
He called you a soccer dad.
I'm not a soccer dad per se anymore.
You're the commish.
For the men or soccer club, I am, but the soccer dad stuff, I guess I am a soccer dad because all those kids, I feel like they belong to me because I try to take care of them.
That is so sweet. So, what a great family atmosphere.
That is nice.
Well, I try to be, man. That's what we try to promote at Men's Soccer Club. So it is what it is.
Yeah, but what happens when they see a guy who was a former NFL running back out there painting lines to make sure the lines are good on the field? Anybody ever say, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Yeah, but at the same time, I could be like, if you don't like how these lines look, you could come help.
That's the line of the day.
You guys always look good, man. They always look crisp. The fields look crisp. They always look good.
Coincidence or no coincidence? I don't mean about your soccer lines. I'm going football here.
Oh, okay.
We're getting into it. You want to play soccer? Go play with Jamel at the Men's Soccer Club. There you go.
Boys and girls.
And if you're interested in painting the lines, you can help. Four of the five winners so far in the first round of the NFL playoffs had a running back gain 100 plus yards. Coincidence or no?
I don't know, man. Because nowadays it's so different now, though, man. Like when you look at how football has progressed to like a passing game and strictly passing, people kind of line up for that. So, like, you look at Derrick Henry and what he's accomplished, that's just a different animal. But then you look at, Barkley and what he's doing, that's different too. So, I don't know if it's coincidence. I just think that it's set up for that nowadays because they're trying to protect against the pass. Secondary is the running.
How much more pressure is there when you're in the playoffs, like a playoff game compared to a regular season game, and how does that play out? I got, like, last night, if I played for Tampa, I would have been steaming mad because Washington had so many fans there. I couldn't tell who the home team was if you just listened.
Hmm. Yeah, it is different because when you go to playoffs, a lot more is on the line than a regular game.
Right.
You know what I mean? And plus, those guys, they're not only playing for the Super Bowl, but they're trying to extend their payday too. You got to think about that as well because the season only goes for 18 weeks, I guess, now.
Yep.
But then as they continue to go, their payment, it starts doubling. You know what I mean? So, and the playoff games are different. Those things, like, people are rest up for the majority, and then the speed just gets faster for some reason. You think, like, during the season, man, these dudes are running fast. But then all of a sudden, you're like, man, what is this, the first game of the season? And everybody's just moving so much faster. The adrenaline is so much higher. A playoff game is so much different than any other kind of game than what you would imagine. So then you think about what the Super Bowl game must be like to the players on the field.
Jamel White joining us, former Browns running back. Last night watching the Commanders in Tampa Bay, Dan Quinn not shy about going for it on fourth down. And his team wins, they advance, and they're going to play Dan Campbell, who's not shy about going for it on fourth down, and Campbell even does it, when he's on the wrong side of the field. Is that a good idea?
Yeah.
The way that some of these, some of the coaches are really going for it on fourth down. I thought Dan Quinn cost himself at least 3 points last night because he passed up, shorter field goals. And if he had had the 6 points, the end of the game wouldn't have been as dramatic as it might have been. What do you think?
I risk reward, man. That's what I look at. And plus, nowadays, you got all these people doing all this analysis stuff about going for it on fourth down. And let's just be honest. The norm now is to go for it on fourth down in the NFL. I remember at times when it was fourth and inches, people wouldn't go for it. Now people go for it on fourth and 3 yards.
Yeah.
Fourth and three. the norm used to be fourth and inches, no kicking. Now the norm is fourth and one, leave the offense on the field. Fourth and two, leave them out there. You even see people going in for fourth and five, but you see it early in the game because their mentality is thinking is like, all right, we're still early in the game, so we can afford to go for it on certain times. But then you got these coaches, man, they willing to risk it all. And they do go for it on the other side of the 50 because then you got to take into account, you know what, I could probably go for it, throw it deep, and somebody's going to try and pad their stats or get an interception, or you hope they make that mistake by not knocking them down the ball. That's just as good as a punt. You know what I mean? So you got people who thinks about it that way. And plus, you look at Kay York, this dude can't make a kick sometimes. So you think about that, too. You like, man, we better off going for it. So some people just go for it based off their kicker, too.
Just curious your thoughts on Deshaun Watson right now and the fact that he, you know, re-injures his Achilles and how long – we're still trying to figure out how long he's actually going to be out, but has he played his last game for the Browns? What do you think?
You know, I was just asked that question, too. Man, he's in a bad spot right now. I don't know.
His wallet's not in a bad spot. He's in a bad spot.
Well, no, right? Yeah. His wallet's not in a bad spot, but him as an athlete, he in a bad spot because I know he really wants to play, and I know the Browns really want him here. But there's a reality to Achilles, you know. The bouncing back from that is a tough one because you get running backs that come back from certain things, but then you get some people that don't. You know, like for him to rupture it the first time and then it happens again, that's rough, man. That's a year injury. And then even when you're done with that injury, it still takes some time. You know, you mentally, you know, you look at Nick this year. Did he bounce back from that injury that he had mentally? I don't know. I can't say that he did because he didn't look right. So is he going to bounce back? And his thing is running outside of the pocket, moving the pocket, doing all. Is he going to be able to do that? Or is he going to be able to adapt to just a pocket passer to where he got to step up and just run sometimes? You know what I mean? So it's different, man. When you look at it from that aspect as an organization and as a player, it's hard bouncing back from Achilles, man. When people say, hey, man, this dude is the Achilles heels of the team, that dude's legit. He's the man. Because if that goes away, you break down. So, I mean, mentally, I don't know, man. And physically, I think he'll be back. But for when it comes down to gameplay, I think the Browns, they got to have a big, big backup plan for that.
So what would it be? You're the general manager. I just gave you that gig. You're a running back by trade. Redo the Browns running back room. What would you want in there next year? Right now, the way it ended the season, Nick was on injured reserve, and you had Deontay Foreman, Pierre Strong, Jerome Ford, and a young guy they brought up. What would you do? What would you put together for next year, and how would you do it?
Well, I would try and address it through the draft first and foremost. I don't know if I would make that a higher priority than other things that's needed, but I would address it through the draft. I hate to say this, but man, I would probably have to do something with Nick. I would have to try and get either talk to him about what he thinks his future is like, or, you know, trade him and try and get the most we can out of him. Even if it's some later drafts later on, if he produces for another team. And then, I would keep Ford, man, and then Pierre I would keep through the rest of through preseason just to see what he does, and if he does something, I mean, I would trade him. But there's a lot of things you would have to do. I would address it that way first, but I would address it in the draft first, and you always have that opportunity for people to fall later on in the draft as well. You know, but there's a lot of things they got to try and get accomplished either through the draft or through free agency, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I wouldn't say so much defensively, but then you have guys that's playing defense that may want to entertain getting traded because they're on the field too much. So you, as an offense, if I'm thinking about it offensively, I would address that running back room through the draft, but you got to think about it. You have to address that quarterback issue first and foremost.
Jamel, what, like, I'm watching these games over the weekend, and I'm like, okay, how far away are the Browns? How far away are the Browns? And, I mean, you were on some rosters that had some, you know, unbelievable players, especially Indianapolis, and then, you know, and Baltimore too. And I, like, what's the difference between a team that can make the playoffs and a team that can't? And I'm talking about psychological, or is there an edge to a team where you just know you're a winner and you know you're going to come out on the right side at the end compared to, I mean, let's face it, there are a lot of times the Browns, like, it's like we were waiting for the mistake to happen in the fourth quarter. What's the difference? And is it a coach? Is it a single player? What is there a common theme between teams that can win and do win every year?
I think it's I personally, because I've been through it all and I've been to the playoffs, I've been on teams that didn't go to the playoffs, obviously, you guys know that. But right. I think it's a combination of the player and the coaches. Like, if you – and I don't want to use the word buy-in because ain't nobody trying to sell nothing when it comes to the NFL. You either going to adapt to what they want or you got to get – they going to get rid of you. But I think it's the players and the coaches first, because if the players bond together – and it doesn't matter how they do it. If they bond together and they – start winning and they see the success when it comes to winning, they just want to go out there and win. And on top of that, think about if you go to work and you like the guy that you work for. You love that organization that you work for and the coach that's sitting up there. And I'm not just talking about just the head coach. I'm talking about the individual coaches in your room as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you could get all that together, and then you go out there and you know they're going to ride for you. You're going to ride for them. The people in your room, even the running back room, you guys are riding for each other. It's unselfish. That's the difference. I know when we went to the playoffs here, man, and I hate to say it, Butch Davis was the common denominator. Like, we didn't actually like playing for that dude, but the reality was we loved each other. We were going, our offense was going to ride for our defense, and our defense was going to ride for us. So we just knew what it was going to be when we stepped on. And so when you look at Baltimore, they already know what it's going to be. When they defense step on the field, they offense like, all right, hurry up, get us back the ball. When they get on the field, they tell their defense, you know what, we about to hold this ball forever. Get your rest.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? So you about to ride or die for each other. If you don't have that on both sides of the ball, and then special teams, they going to handle it. You look at how all those people, I mean, it's one thing to get up and cheer, and I know the Browns have this rule that they have to do it, but is it sincere? Is it something that you really want to do? And these other guys, I truly believe, when you look at Baltimore and how they big up each other, they want to do it. They're not getting told to do it. They want to get busy with each other. And I think that's a big difference. When we went to the playoffs, man, you should have seen our locker room was awesome. Our defensive players were awesome. Our offensive players was awesome. We knew we just was going to ride for each other. And that's one of the big differences. And, you know, I had a coach, our position coach, I liked him because he was about that business. He was on me all the time. But Todd and B.A., I would ride for them. And so they knew it. So when they put me in the game, it was what it was.
Bruce Arians.
That's the biggest thing.
So wait, let me ask you this, because I want to go back to a little thing you said in there. Did you guys in the running back room use that I don't like Butch Davis mantra to make you all better? Or did he inflict a bond on you guys that you may not have had everybody liked him? Does that make sense? That there was a
yeah.
In some ways, did Butch want to do that? Because he didn't care if you liked him or not. He wanted to win, right? So, so that's my question.
I don't know if he cared if we liked him or not, or if he just wanted to win. I just know that common denominator was we knew during the season how everything looked in our eyes when it came to him as a coach, and not everything he did was a bad thing, but we just had our feelings about him and what we thought was necessary. But when you came in our locker room, you don't have you didn't have bickering. You didn't have people pointing fingers at each other. And then even in our running back room, like for me, I knew what my spot was at that time and what I had to do and, you know, what the other running backs had to do. So when we did things, it was Williams. I don't know what year it was for him, the second or third. I don't remember, but I knew I was there to give him support and to be the guy when it came down to the line of everything. But at the same time, we also understood, like, sometimes, you know, the coaching didn't look right. You know what I'm saying?
No, so, we hear you.
The coaching didn't look right to us. Like, who would be on the field at certain times? It just didn't look right. But I think through all that, we just bonded together, man. And when we hit the field, it was different. It was just a different feel, and it got better as the year went along and as we pushed to the playoffs. It was just a different feeling, man. And that's like a brotherhood, and that's why, like, football is one of those things that – and I just want to say any team sport probably, but football is one of those things, like, when you get that bond and you know, all right, Jamel going to ride if he in – or, you know, Roman's going to do – you already know what you're going to get, and you know the expectation. And for you, for yourself as a player, you force those expectations onto yourself to where you're just out there competing all out no matter what. And so I think that's what one of the biggest reasons why we ended up going to the playoffs and why we had so much success in that year. And I think that was the same way when, you know, Stefanski was coach of the year 2 years, you know, and the Browns did well. Because they had that same. I mean, you would have to ask those guys, but it starts in that locker room, and I think it's both players and coaches and having some kind of bond. And I loved playing for, you know, some of the coaches I had, and they knew what to expect from me, and I appreciated that.
Jamel, thank you, buddy. Always
Thanks,
a pleasure
man.
To have you.
Oh, no problem. Anytime, fellas.
Jamel White, former
thank
Browns
you, Jamel.
Running back. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline when he's not painting lines on soccer fields in Menor.